All right, today I'm going to read Matthew 6 in its entirety. So we'll start at verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Good job, brother. Good job. Yeah, we talked about there's a lot of fruit in here, low-hanging fruit, a lot of deep stuff in here. I'll just start out. I just want to add one thought. Maybe I'll have another one after you guys talk. I don't know. Verse 22, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." I think Brother Zelos were talking about that word single. I wanted to look that up. And it means single, haplos in the Greek. It means folded together, but I think in context, simple, single, whole. And I like this definition. Good, fulfilling its office, sound. So if you think about that, when you go and you look at the context of it, and then read verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness." So I guess what I get from this is like your eye, what you see is what you almost think about or what's taken into yourself. Kind of like in John when it says lust of the eyes, pride of life. Isn't that what he says? Mm-hmm. So what we look at in this world can take us away into either light, if it's of Christ, or if we look at the things of the world, can take us into darkness. And isn't it in the Old Testament, is it Psalms or Proverbs? Help me, brothers. "I'll set nothing evil before mine eyes." Mm-hmm. I think that's Psalms.
I think
it's in Psalms. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking about those two verses and how it's just interesting how in English, you know, if your eye be single, it's like, what, do I need just one? No, that's not what it means. It means if it's of good use, which would mean, I think you could almost lean to goodness, righteousness, holiness, you're of God, versus if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And last thought on these, this is a good example when we're studying the Word of God, saints. When we read a verse, like let's say we read verse 22 and we go, "The light of the body is the eye, therefore if the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light." You go, what does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? Keep reading. And then if you read the next verse, it gives you the counter. The eye is full of light and good, and then the counter is that your eye be full of evil. So a lot of times the Word of God helps us interpret the Word of God. A lot of people get stuck on one verse. They just haven't read the next verse, and they go, oh, now that makes sense. So that's kind of was my thought. That one jumped out at me. What say you, brothers?
Starting way up in like the first, what is it, the first 15 verses, where the Lord is basically telling them not to do alms or pray to be seen of men. Those two things he put kind of like a, almost something on that would, like a forbidding those two things, like we're to preach in public, we're to let our light be seen, then our good works that they glorify God, but giving of alms, kind of what you do for somebody else to help them, should never be done for vainglory. It should be done for compassion and love and helping that person for God's glory. It should never be done to be seen of men. It's interesting how he says it. He said, "Take heed that you do not do your alms before men." Yeah. It's kind of like telling him, beware, don't do this, pay attention to not do this. And then he says the same thing about prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites are when you're doing it. And both of those things, ironically, are things that churchianity is like massively doing. Like setting up charity programs to try and like, look how many people we fed, look how many alms we did, look how many people we've helped, all of that to be seen of men, and public prayer in like the most obvious sense of it. It's kind of so in your face, but yeah.
Amen.
So that was one thought, but why don't we go in around and I'll have another thought, see if the other brothers have some.
Brother Pergos, it's your turn if you have any thoughts on Matthew 6.
Oh, I put down a couple things. Let me choose one. Something that came to me a little while back. Sometimes I have a warped view of things. But
not warped, it's just different.
Thank you, brother. Matthew 6:34. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil therefore." remember, everybody, that's actually a command that we have to follow, not just a nice suggestion. Yeah. That's also echoed in one of Peter's writings, where he says to cast your anxiety upon the Lord, for he cares for you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely essential to serving the Lord properly.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, these aren't suggestions. Yeah. These are instructions. These are doctrines. These are commandments. And can I throw something in there? That word thought means to be anxious. It's not just you think of it. It's like you're worried about it. You're kind of anxious about it. To be troubled by it. A lot of people get that wrong too. Oh, you can't even think about planning for the future. No, not what he's saying. He's saying don't worry about it. Don't labor about it, right? Don't be concerned about it. Yeah. Good point, brother. I guess I'll throw in one if we're going to go around a little bit. Or Brother Koo, you probably had something to throw in.
Yes, I mean, something that stuck out to me while I was reading through it is he says they have their reward, like, multiple times, talking about doing things for men's favor rather than God's favor. And it's important that we see that, like, doing things for the Lord is done out of the heart, in secret, not letting anyone know about it for glory or fame or anything like that. You're just doing it because you have a heart for the Lord, and you're the son or daughter of the Lord, and it's like you just want to do it.
Amen.
And it's just the big contrast between, and he's saying they have their reward, but if you want your reward from me, you have to do it, you know, this way. And it is a command, you were right, because in the Lutheran Church and Once Saved, Always Saved doctrine, all this stuff, they're like, you literally have the mindset that these are like suggestions.
Yeah, it's just like stuff he just said.
Right.
Doesn't really apply to us.
It's good to follow these every once in a while, but
yeah,
you don't really have to obey them. But
that's a good point. I like how you said that. Man's reward and then the reward from the Lord. So we should be concerned about rewards.
Yeah.
Make sure we're doing the work of the Lord and we're promised a proper reward versus are we looking for favor and glory and rewards right now of men? Yeah, good point.
I have a verse that came to mind for that.
I have some.
Go ahead, brother.
Verse 8 says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. That reminded me of something in Isaiah 65:24, that is talking about future events. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Right now, we have to actually pray, but one day, if we make it, he'll actually be answering before we finish our question,
yeah,
it appears.
Yeah, amen.
I look forward to that.
It'll be like in real time. Amen.
Cool. Yeah.
Amen. Brother Zelos, anything else?
Yeah, I got lots. I just kind of wanted to toss it around to go around, rather you'd be listening to me talk for half an hour straight. Verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very basic fundamental principle that the Lord taught in numerous places. Like, I found it interesting. The word trespasses is like a side slap, a side slip, a deviation. It's basically referring to falling into sin. And then in verse 12, where in the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the word debts there would be basically something owed. So not only do we forgive others something to do against us, but we also forgive them what's owed to us. We forgive them for Christ's sake, knowing that we should not have any root of bitterness in us, and forgive them their sins. I mean, if they don't repent, they're still going to face judgment, but we basically need to make sure our hearts are pure before God, like you were saying earlier. So it's a very important passage in here that we should all ponder on.
That word debt can mean sin too. It means a moral fault, a debt, that which is owed, because we always talk about how we owe a debt to God that we could never repay, a sin debt.
I know. I guess my point with there was we can look at sin as something that doesn't affect us, and then sometimes there's sin, like you were saying, that would be more personal toward, that we could take more personal because it affects us more closely, so to speak.
Yeah.
Either way, we need to forgive, or the Father won't forgive us, because we don't want to be that servant that's been forgiven £10,000 and then goes and strangles their fellow servant for 10 cents.
Yep, exactly. Amen. That would be an ungrateful person. Yeah. Verse 17, but when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. I think that's kind of a good point. It kind of shows the heart, like when you're going to fast, or you're going to sacrifice before God, to have supplication before God for something that you need in prayer or a need that you have, to make sure. Then he says, thou appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father do which is in secret. The Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So it's just a good mindset to have, that those things we do before God, to God, should be to God and for God, not unto men, like we were talking about. A lot of people have a wrong heart about that, whether it be praying or giving or even fasting. I remember I worked at this company one time. This is long before I was a believer. And I remember the one guy was working there, and he would come to work, and we'd sit in the cafeteria to eat lunch, and he'd say, nope, can't eat. Nope. It's pizza day. You can't eat. I'm fasting. He would tell everybody that he was fasting. I remember that. I don't know why that stuck out to me. And I used to think about, well, that's strange. Why would you go tell? I'm like, it must have something to do with God or something. Why are you telling us all? We don't really care. More pizza for us, fine. Because I was a pagan back then, you know. But I thought it was interesting. He had to let everybody know that he was fasting. And Christ said, don't let that happen to you. It's a good point to remember.
That reminded me of a passage in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 30. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. So a king, in humility, he's wearing that sackcloth on his skin, but he's not showing it to the people.
Right, yeah, exactly, covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it goes for more than just fasting, more than just money, more than just...
Yep.
It's all done to God in secret, and you need no reward from your men.
Amen, mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, I like verse 24. No man can serve two masters, but either will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's an interesting statement. People seem to be really bent on trying to prove Jesus wrong there, but his words were like, if you look up the word cannot, it's like an absolute negative. Like, it's an absolute negative, like, absolutely not able to be possibly able to do this. You are like, it's like an absolute negative. When he says you cannot serve God and man, he's like in an absolute negative, saying that you're not even possibly able to do this. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is basically wealth. I think it ties into, like, the love of money is the root of all evil, and, like, verses 19 and 20. Laying up treasure on earth, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Like, if you love money and you're trying to serve it, you are not going to be able to serve God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle.
Amen. Yeah, that word mammon means treasure, riches, and wealth. So it's not actually money. A lot of people have that wrong, too. It's actually like excess, where you're trying to become rich. It's the love of money becomes the root of all evil. You're trying to stack it up and become greedy with it and serve it as well as serve God. It's impossible.
And those riches could be, it's kind of like when the word says poor, it could mean more than monetarily poor.
Oh yeah.
It could mean like poor in spirit.
Oh yeah.
It could mean like poor in knowledge.
Yeah.
So when it says, like, wealth, I think of, like, even people, we just read about wisdom in 1 Corinthians. trying to gather all this knowledge and excess man's wisdom to figure things out, and like you can't serve that.
Yeah, like status, reputation, honor, lifting themselves up, position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all of those things can be considered, all of that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody?
Well, if none of you are going to take it, I'm going to take Matthew 6:33.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
That was like probably the most low-hanging.
We'll let you be first. We all want to be last. We'll let you be first. We want to be last. Go ahead, brother. We love you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's kind of a bedrock favorite verse for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it all hinges on one word. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I mean, maybe you could say seeking is also important because we need to seek, but it's seek first, firstly, first in the time, place, order of importance, before, at the beginning. The first absolute priority we must have in our life is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that since we're talking about it. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. You're in the street witnessing and somebody goes, kingdom of God, what are you talking about? What do you say? We're role playing here kind of. What do you mean kingdom of God? What are you talking about? I go to church. What's the kingdom of God?
Well, who's the king? What's his dominion, and what are the rules for being within his dominion?
Yeah, so you would describe like what a kingdom actually is, the four parts of a kingdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where is it today? Where's the kingdom of God today?
In God's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where's it coming in the future, Brother Zelos?
A city near you.
A city coming near you. Amen. So yeah, the kingdom of God, it's a good way to explain to people. And I think it's a great way. We always preach about the two kingdoms, kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. People don't think about this much unless you're like the followers of the way and they talk about the kingdom of God a little bit, but they have a corrupted view of it. But the kingdom of God is in his people. We can use like Christ as an example. When the soldiers came and get him to take him away, he said, if this was my kingdom, my servants would come and fight. Did you notice he said his servants would come and fight? Jesus wasn't a pacifist. I'm just saying. There's a time and a place for pacifism. And when Jesus was being arrested was the time for it. What's coming in the future, it is not pacifism. It's all out war and destruction, and the sword is going to come from his mouth. And so, yeah, it's good to remind people about the kingdom of God and ask them, are you seeking the kingdom of God? Not church, not just reading the Bible. Does the kingdom of God dwell within you? Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you. I think the better translation is it's like in you. It's right here. It's right now. And that can really kind of convict people when they go, I don't know what you're talking about. And all of a sudden you go, you're probably not born of God because you don't have the kingdom of God in you. That makes sense?
Oh yeah, Jesus said you can't even see the kingdom of God if you haven't been born from above.
Yeah.
But I want to focus on something else. I mean, I often hear people like they'll quote that, oh yeah, the kingdom of God, but he also said, and his righteousness.
Oh yeah.
Which also tells us we also need to seek first, not just God's kingdom, but God's righteousness. Man, that puts a whole nother twist on it.
Yeah.
Now you're seeking to be right, be ye holy as I am holy, and we're supposed to seek that first.
Yeah.
I mean, if people were seeking that first, there might be more saints. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they set their eyes on the kingdom of God in Christ, and then as fruit, they're of him, then righteousness just flows. I mean, that makes perfect sense right there. There's faith and works right there. You're of the kingdom of God. You got that by faith. And what flows from that? Righteousness. You're seeking righteousness from the Spirit, goodness, truth, righteousness. Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
and then the last part of the verse, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man, raise your hand if you've heard that quoted in defense of just going to church and thinking God's going to bless you with stuff.
Right, just, yeah, it's almost like it's a given type of thing. Oh, you just do this and God's going to bless you.
Yeah, he's going to give you everything you want and ask for. Actually, no, hang on a second. In context, he's going to give you food and clothing.
Yeah.
That's context.
Yeah.
Like, what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? What shall we eat?
Yep.
I mean, your father knoweth you have need. You have need of those things. Seek him in his kingdom, and you'll have those things. He's not promising you riches, a Mercedes Benz, a $1 million mansion, the best job you can get, and a pension plan. He's promising you food and raiment, which the Bible says, if you have those, be content.
Yeah. Amen.
And I just want to add one verse onto that. 1 John 3. 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. But it doesn't end there. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
You mean we have something to do?
Yeah, something to do. You can't just ask and receive it.
Brother Kuo asked me, he said a good study would be all the things in the New Testament that tells us to do. I said, yeah, that would be a good study because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. That would be a good one. Can I go ahead.
Tying into that verse and one other where it says our daily bread, this verse came to mind. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Amen.
So don't look for too much at one time, and don't put your trust in riches.
Amen. Amen. And he just set me up. I'm glad I let him go first. You're reading Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we covered the kingdom of God. We covered seek first. We covered the kingdom of God. We covered righteousness. Ready? Without anybody looking. And all these things shall be added unto you. What are the things? I thought that was interesting. Things? When you look that up and you go, hey, things. Properly royalty, a realm, kinship, dominion, rule. Didn't we just read in Revelation the promises I read that we're going to like rule with Christ? So he's telling us seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and basically we're going to rule with him. All these things will be added unto you. It's the things of God. The royal power of Jesus is triumphant, the Messiah, dignity, his kingdom, dominion, rule. I think that's pretty interesting. A realm. Oh, wait, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Did I read that right? Oh, nope. I had it. Yep, I just caught it. I had it on the kingdom. My message finger. Things. Yeah, things is what? A neutered, accumulative, neutral, plural of. Things afterward to follow. Yeah, I had the wrong word. Same such. Okay, yeah. So good. So that is a good thing I brought it up. So what is the things? It's not the kingdom. I had my finger on the wrong word. What is the things? All these things.
I believe he's talking in context about basically because he's telling us before, you know, don't try to stir wealth, and take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or drink or your body, what you're going to
do. So you think he's recapping Matthew 6? Or probably the Sermon on the Mount?
He's kind of recapping it and telling us that God's going to take care of us, but like I was saying, he's not going to give you a life of luxury. He's going to give you what you need, food and raiment, and if you need it, probably shelter.
Yeah, but I think you're right. He's probably recapping the Sermon on the Mount, probably 5 and, you know, 5 and 6. Because it's kind of a continuation. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Which because 5 and 6 blend right into each other.
It's also a promise for us, isn't it, though?
I'm sorry?
It's also a promise for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we seek God's kingdom, we don't have to be anxious about basically, I think there's a psalm, I'm just paraphrasing from memory here, about David writes it, I am old and have been young and have not yet seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I believe that's how it goes. I'm just quoting from memory here. And basically, God's people might have to suffer tribulation and trials, but God's not just going to basically forget about you if you're seeking him. He might suffer you like Job to be tried for a time, but we can really rest that our Father has knoweth what we have need of, and he takes care of us. And he also actually says, like, if we... It's an interesting verse 30. If we're kind of anxious about that, he kind of calls you out as being of little faith.
Explain that.
Well, if you're really worried and concerned and anxious about the temporal, and that's your focus, instead of focusing on God, you don't believe God can take care of you. Like Jesus basically saying, oh, you have little faith.
Right.
After all these things that the Gentiles seek, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you have those things.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is kind of, I don't know, I guess if you go deep enough, if you seek God's kingdom and righteousness, you're commanded to work with your hands and not be lazy. You're going to have food to eat, probably.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
It kind of just comes round full circle, but, I mean, we do have the example of Elijah being fed by the ravens.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. When I brought up that word kingdom and I was reading the word things and then kingdom, Revelation 20, verse 6.
I think it's going to shut down pretty soon.
Is it getting cold?
It's 2% battery.
Oh, it looks like his battery's going to shut down?
Yeah.
Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that had a part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's what I was thinking about when I was looking up that word kingdom, and it's like rule and reign. We get to reign with Christ. That's pretty amazing. Like we were talking about all those promises in Revelation. And like it's kind of like, it's like mind-blowing to even think about all the promises that we get. Did you get that study done on promises in the book of Revelation?
No. No, it's on the list.
It's on the list. Yet. Yeah. So what a great thing we get to reign with him one day. Awesome. That's awesome. Anything else on Matthew 6? I know there's a bunch more, but we're not doing a whole verse by verse on it right now.
Yeah. No, those are the ones that jumped out at me.
Yeah. Anything else, Brother Purgos?
Not for now.
I got to fire up my Chromebook real quick. Because our one battery's dying in the cold. Thanks, brothers. This will be up in the Ecclesia Forum to edify those that are listening or following along.